Good morning to you. This is a text that is no doubt familiar to many of you this morning. This passage that you just read is often called the chapter of faith, and for good reason. The Holy Spirit inspired the author of Hebrews to give us a powerful description of faith, but he also goes on to illustrate it through the lives of many saints who have gone on before us. You know, whenever I get the privilege to be up here, I relish the opportunity to talk about Dad behind his back. It's called payback, by the way. But while I may tease him from time to time, and I may do that once or twice this morning, just so you know, on a serious note, it may come as no surprise to you that my brothers and I think the world of our mom and our dad. Brother Roman and I were talking a few weeks ago about the relationship that we have with parents, and not everyone can say that they had the opportunity to have a good relationship with their mother or their father. But we did. We're very grateful for it. We were given parents that were loving, wise, and yes, they were very, very, very patient with us, for sure. We couldn't have asked for better parents. One of my favorite things to do with Dad, because I look up to him, is to pick apart his brain a little, especially about things that really matter. I try not to do it often, because I don't want to drive him crazy, because I probably already do. But one day, I decided to ask him what I thought would be probably one of the most important questions of all. I remember it well. We were driving down on I-95, just the two of us, alone. And I asked them, Dad, if you could say just one thing to someone, only one thing, whether it was a loved one, whether it was a believer in Christ, whether it was a lost sinner, or even if you had to address the entire nation, if you could only impart one truth, what would you say? And without hesitation, he said, the one thing I would say, Andy, is the just shall live by faith. My very spiritual reaction was, really? That's what you would say? Just that? And he told me, Andy, if everyone lost or saved would remember just that one verse, then God would take care of the rest. And I never forgot that. And ladies and gentlemen, as the sun rises on a new year, God is telling us all this morning, he's reminding us that the just shall live by faith. If we are to be resolute in anything in 2017, it is to be what God wants us to be. And what he desires more than anything else in this world is for us to be a people that put our trust in him. This phrase that Dad mentioned was first referenced to the prophet Habakkuk. God spoke it to him. And then also here in chapter 10, just a few verses before our text, in chapter 10, verse 38, it says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Wow. That is very strong language. The Holy Spirit leaves no room for questioning or doubt. If you want to please God, you must be a person of faith. To the man or woman who asked, well, what is faith? God gave an answer in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word substance meaning confidence or even reality. The confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is a powerful description. Yet there are those who mock it, saying, how can there be evidence of something that you can't even see? Well, that same logic would be like if someone said, I've heard of London. People have told me that there's a place called London, but I've never seen it with my eyes. So how do I know that it's real? Well, Rick can tell you it's real. McFarland's can tell you that it certainly exists. Well, many say, how can any of this, how can any of it be true? Any of it. Yet there are people all around this room right now that can tell you, yes, I was lost. I placed my hope in the things that did not matter, the things the world told me to. I was found wanting. I was broken. I was without peace. But one day, someone told me that I needed to place my faith, not in this world, but in Jesus Christ. And I didn't turn a new leaf. I wasn't rehabilitated. I didn't just become a better person. I was saved. I was born again. And I became a new creature in Christ. And when I pray, when I go to church, when I read his word, I know that I am a child of the living God. They will tell you that they know that they have a heavenly Father. They can bear witness to the evidence of things not seen. This is a faith, ladies and gentlemen, that changes people's lives. There can be no greater evidence than that. So the question is asked this morning, if the just shall live by faith, then how can we be those people? There are three things in this text, and I won't be long this morning, that will challenge us to consider everything we do, every single day of our lives. They are simple, but they are powerful truths. And if we can lay claim to them, God will take care of the rest. The first truth to consider is found in our text, chapter 11 and verse 6. Read it with me. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. The first thing we see is faith's reality. It says here that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. There is a break in that sentence. And there is a break for a reason. This may seem a little too elementary for some, but if you are to be a person of faith, you must first believe that God is, that he exists. And you may say, well, Andy, obviously, you know, we all believe that. Most of us would not be here today otherwise. But consider the word of God when the scripture says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Sometimes demons have more awe and respect for the presence of God than his own people. The question is, does the reality of the fact that God is right here, the Bible says where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Does the fact that God lives today change anything about us this morning? Faith is not to be some lifeless knowledge. It is supposed to affect you in every single aspect of your life. Faith in Christ does not inform a man. It transforms him. It changes him. A missionary once said that the greatest sign of an atheist is a lack of two things, prayer and praise. And he said it was his great regret that he's seen that lack in many fellow believers, but especially in himself. If we were to watch just one day of our life, just one day, and let's say it's a silent film where no words were spoken, what would people see? What conclusion would they come to at the end of the day of who we were? Would they see the evidence of things not seen? Would they see people living a life where the just shall live by faith, the reality of our faith? Would they see believers, mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, grandparents on their knees pleading with God for their children, for their grandchildren, for their lost loved ones, people bringing their burdens and their blessings to their Heavenly Father? Would they see a people exercising forgiveness, compassion, gentleness, the love of Christ, even to those who may not treat them the same? Or would they just see another life? Would they see me just getting up in the morning, living day to day, trying to get by, fruitlessly living in the power of my own strength? No evidence, no recognition to the presence of God. The fact that God is this morning, he that cometh God must believe that he is. The fact that he is the great I am should affect our life in such a way that people, if they were watching, could see our faith. And by the way, right here it says, the Bible does not say, he that cometh to God must believe that he is what? Anything you want? It's Burger King, have it your way. Whatever you want your Jesus to be, whatever you want your God to be, it's fine. It's no big deal. No. He that cometh to God must believe that he is who he said he is by his own word. Faith is believing God who he is as he has said it. Not as Oprah has said it. I've heard her definition of God. Or Chopra. Or even Prince Charles. He gave a Christmas address not too long ago. And he said to the whole world, my Christmas address is this Christmas season. Don't think of Jesus Christ. Think of the prophet Muhammad. Because in his mind, we all serve the same God. Well, no offense to his royal majesty. But God said, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. That is who he is. God said that he is love, that he is mercy. He is holy. He is just. He is righteous. He is the one and only, and he is Lord alone. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe it enough that it changes us? You know, if we simply take to heart to who God said he is, it would eliminate most of the problems that we have in life. You know, are you afraid this morning? Do you have fears and trepidations? God is present here. He said, "Behold, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He said that about himself. Are you in need? Do you have a great burden on your heart? God said of himself that he is Jehovah Jireh, which means I am the Lord who provides. God is many wonderful things. Never take the fact that God is for granted. And not just that he is, but that he is who he said he is. You know what he said he was this morning? He says he's faithful. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. He is good. And the just shall live by faith. Faith in him. Which leads us to the second truth in this text. First, we saw faith's reality. Now look at verse 6 again. But without faith, it is possible? No. It is impossible to please him. We see faith's reward, and now we see faith's requirement. Faith's requirement. I had an agnostic colleague, I guess you could call him, many years ago. And he talked to me, we always debate back and forth. He said, you know, Andy, there's a law in debate known as the burden of proof. Now, you come to me saying that God is, that God lives, that he's your heavenly Father. Well, the burden of proof is on you to prove that he exists or that you promote evidence that is satisfactory to me. And I told him, well, that may be true when talking about earthly things. But when it comes to God, the burden of faith is on you. I told him this verse, without faith, it is impossible to please him. God is not obligated to reveal himself in a way that you find satisfactory. While God may knock on your heart's door, you don't open the door and go, I'm going to need to see some identification. I'm going to need to see a sign, or I'm going to need to see something impressive for me to really believe. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. God is not obligated to reveal himself in the way that you want. You must respond to him in humble faith. And God, by the way, does not leave any room for debate on this matter. I told him that too. There is no debate. If you are to follow God, if you are to love him, if you are to serve him, if you are to obey his will for your life, it is all impossible to do so without faith. This is a very strong and a very clear statement. So much so that, as you saw in verse 38 of chapter 10, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That is powerful. But when you think about it, it's not really that surprising at all. I think a lot of parents would agree that if they could get just one thing through their kid's thick skull, is what they would just learn to trust them. Trust their mom and dad. Take them at their word. Don't touch that. Don't go here. Don't do that. Why? You know, my little Haley is an angel. She's an angel, in case you didn't know. You know, the worst, and I feel bad for kids. It's not really fair, but probably the biggest temptation of mankind is a Christmas tree. It's big. It's got blinking lights. It's literally got shining, low-hanging things for them to touch. I mean, it's not fair to them. I understand the struggle. However, with Haley, my little angel, she never had a need or a desire or an impulse to touch the Christmas tree. She always was content. She's a very content child. To just look at the tree, to radiate with its splendor. Sweet kid. But then one day, we went to Papa's house. And Dad proceeded to pick Haley up. Come on, Haley, let's go look at the Christmas tree. It's not a big deal, right? No. He let her touch it. He let her to destroy the tree, do anything that she wanted. Oh, look, touch the ornament. Oh, pull on the garland. Oh, yeah, yank the tree. Put your mouth on the light. It's fine. So what do you think happened when she got home? She wasn't content anymore. My father has ruined my child. Unacceptable. And by the way, some of you have seen her around. giving raspberries to every member of this church, blowing bubbles. You probably have seen her do that. That's also Papa's fault. So you can blame him. The one day he taught her to go, now she does it 24/7. He has ruined my child. It's only a matter of time. But, you know, I was the same way. Andy, don't touch that. Andy, don't put that in your mouth. I did that a lot. Andy, don't put your hand in that socket. Andy, don't ride your bike in traffic. Why? I don't. I didn't listen. I didn't trust him. You might have heard this before, but there was a period of time, I'll never forget this, where Dad would have to say the exact same phrase over and over and over and over again for like 2 years to Ben. You might have heard this. Ben, at 7 or 8 years old, was very inquisitive, but he was also very concerned for things. If you were driving down the road and you decided to take a detour or you went a different direction that you normally go, he would notice instantly. 7 years old. He'd go, why are you going this way? Why do we turn around? What happened? Is there a wreck? Are you lost? Do you know what you're doing? Did you fill up the car with gas? Did you renew your license? How's your car insurance? He would ask questions like, I'm not kidding. Is there air in the tires? He would ask these questions constantly. And after Dad pleading with him, eventually Dad would break down. And he said, Ben, would you just trust me? Now, most kids, that wouldn't work, obviously. You'd say, because I said so, would you trust me? Doesn't work. But the funny thing is, Dad would say, would you trust me? Ben go, okay. Like, that's it? That worked for you? And I told Dad, you could have led with that.
Be quiet, Andy.
But, you know, we laugh at that, but we often do that with God, don't we? You know, God, why did this happen to me? Why did you lead me here? Why are we going that way? Are you sure you know what you're doing? Like children, and like we did with our parents, we often doubt our Heavenly Father. That is why the requirement that God demands faith is not really an unusual one. We require the same thing from our children, our spouses, and our friends. It's the only way we can truly be pleased and enjoy them. You cannot have love or peace or joy without trust. The problem is, like those in the world, we are very interested in what we can perceive, what we see and what we understand, not what God can see. I want to let you know a little secret. Last week, Dad embarrassed me. Yes, he did. I wasn't going to pick on him. He embarrassed me. In this pulpit, right here, just a week ago from today, he embarrassed me. He was talking about technology, and he was talking about all these phones with their retinas, and there's this, and there's that. And then he said, oh, and there's these new TVs with 4G. It's 4K. It's 4K, Dad. Oh, I couldn't listen to the rest of the message. I couldn't go to the altar. I was so embarrassed. These 4G TVs, it's 4K, Dad. Oh, I was in pain. So much cringing. But I don't blame him. But back in the day, I remember this. You know, our society is obsessed with finding the perfect clarity. I remember as a kid, and you remember this too, that TVs were basically made out of glass and titanium alloy from nuclear subs. They weighed like 3,000 pounds. Remember TVs back in the day? It was a big glass bowl. So when someone said, you don't want to help me move my TV, it was worse than moving a couch. These things were heavy. Miserable. We didn't know any better. But back in those days, those TVs were called standard definition, which was simply 720 by 576. So you kids, when you're adults, don't go in the hundreds, those beautiful channels that are in the 400s, they accidentally hit channel 3, and you're like, oh, that image is terrible. What is that? It's like the Stone Age. That was called standard definition. We suffered so much. We couldn't see every little hair follicle in people's faces. It was a terrible, terrible time. But I remember when I was in college, I was in Best Buy, and something called HD came out. High definition. Ooh, I like the sound of that. High definition. And that was 1280 by 720 resolution. It was double. That's the width and the height of the pixels, by the way. Worthless information incoming. But then I remember something came out called full HD. I was thinking, what did they do with the other half? But I remember the guy at Best Buy goes, man, he like called me over like it was life or death. Man, come here, come here. Like it was a secret. Come here, man. He goes, dude, this is 920 by 1080 resolution. And he said this, and I think he really believed this. He goes, man, let me tell you. The human eye that God made, that's how he did it, talk like Trump, like this. The human eye that God made can't even perceive, man. This is the highest resolution that we'll ever achieve. I'm telling you, man, the human eye can't even see this. We have reached the peak. This is the greatest. You got to buy this TV sometime. You'll never get anything better than this. Like, really? He really believed it, by the way. He was a zealot for this thing. You'll never see anything better. Your eyes will never see anything better than this. And now, lo and behold, a few years later, either he's a liar or his mind is really blown. There's something called 4K, which is a whopping 3,840 by 2,160. Who cares? But again, it's not 4G, Dad. It's 4K. See, Dad has spiritual knowledge. I possess worthless information. So just so you know, worthless. Teenagers will tell you that, worthless information. But you know, there is a mania to these things. Our society is so obsessed with pursuing like that perfect clarity. When the phone comes out, and if it's that 720, I tell you that it loses 3 stars. It's horrible. It's abhorrent. This screen is awful. How can anyone look at this thing? And people with flip phones, they don't even exist anymore, apparently, because, you know, the screen is unacceptable. We got to have 4K, and then there's going to be 8K, I guarantee you, and then our eyes will bleed or whatever will happen. I don't know. But when you really think about it, we are obsessed. Our society is completely obsessed. Well, why? Well, one reason why is because all we are concerned about, all we really think is real, especially the world, is the only thing that's right in front of you. The only thing that's real, the only thing you really can place your faith in is the thing that is right in front of your face. Well, I have a question for people who believe that. What happens when there are things that you cannot perceive? When there are things that you can't see? They're there, but your eyes can't behold it. That's faith. The reason why faith is required is because there will be days we often don't see what really matters. We lose our perspective. There will be days where we don't understand, and we may never understand, till we're at home in heaven. There will be days where we do not have the answers. You know, our First Lady recently told the entire country that we have seen the end of hope. She said, to abandon all hope, it's over. Life is over as we know it. Well, why would the First Lady say anything like that? What would move a person to say that to a whole nation? Well, it's not very surprising because she said the only time she was ever proud of her country is when they elected her hubby. But now that her beloved is on her way out, well, guess what? Hope is dead. It's over now because he's not here anymore. I'm not proud anymore. The problem is she has spent her life placing her faith in the wrong person. There will be days where it doesn't seem like you have any hope. What do you do then? You trust him. But God, I don't understand. Why is this happening to me? God asks you, will you just trust me? Yes. Because faith is required. Because above all other things, the just shall live by faith. And for a child of God, that can be enough. Because we serve a faithful and a loving Father who always has our best interest in his heart. Which leads to the final truth here in verse 6. Let's read it again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We see faith's reality and faith's requirement. But lastly, praise God, we see faith's reward. This is where we see the unfathomable goodness of God. You know, God could have simply demanded faith and obedience. You must obey. He is God. He is Elohim. He is our creator. And such is his right, and it is our duty, as is the rest of creation. But you know, he doesn't stop there. He never does. He loves us so much, he even rewards us for when we seek him. It is as the psalmist proclaims in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles." And the list goes on and on and on. We do not serve the Lord for his benefits, but oh, we must never forget them. That is why one person has said that the reason why the just live by faith is because it's just the only way to live. Perhaps the most beautiful way it has ever been expressed is one of my favorite psalms by King David, Psalm 34, verse 8. Some of you know it well. O taste and see that the Lord is good. And I love the last part. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You want to be a blessed man or a blessed woman this year? Put your trust in him. Some of you this morning can say that 2016, as far as circumstances are concerned, was not a very good year. Some may even say it could have been one of the hardest that you have ever lived. Some of us, you could say, have been a great year. Do you want peace this year? You want strength and comfort, power and reassurance, no matter what may come? Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. Come that at once, delay no longer, heed his entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. You shall find peace at the mercy seat. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you will find a reward better than you could have ever imagined. You will taste and see that the Lord is good. But you know, why him? Why are we to put our faith specifically in Christ? You know, not the White House or apparently in Prince Charles. Why do we put our faith in him? There's no better answer. One chapter over in Hebrews 12, God gave an answer. He says, Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, I love that, and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Why? Why do we trust him? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We can trust Christ because he is the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end of our faith. He endured the cross for us. He died on the sins for us. And he rose again on the third day for us. Because of these things, our faith is not in vain. Because of these things, no one is deserving of it but him. We can trust him this morning because he is faithful. And to make it all the sweeter, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We as God's children will find that to be true if we place our faith in him every single day of our lives. There may be someone in this room this morning that may say, I don't know if I ever placed my faith in Jesus Christ. May I say to you this morning that you are not here by accident. God had you here at the beginning of a new year for a reason. Your reality is that you are a sinner. I'm a sinner. Our reality is we are all sinners. And the Bible says all have come short of the glory of God. All of us. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your reality is that you need a Savior today. Your requirement is that you must come to Jesus Christ and to him alone. He did not die on the cross that you could do good deeds and earn your way to heaven on your own. You cannot earn your way into his presence. He died on the cross because you could never pay the price for your own sin. That is why faith is required, by the way. He did everything for you. So now you must place all your faith in him. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus said in John 6, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a promise that you can place all your faith and your trust in. And your reward is forgiveness of sins, peace in your soul, a home in heaven with Christ, and everlasting life. Our reward is salvation, and we must never forget that. To you in this morning who may have not placed your faith in Christ, I urge you, don't delay. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. We may not live to see 2018 or even another day. Who knows? Trust Christ as your Savior today. Place your faith in the one who truly deserves it. I'll say this and I'll be done. As we all enter into this new year, if there is one thing that can be said of us this year, and as many years as the Lord gives us on this earth, let it be said that we, as a people of Beacon Baptist Church, are a people of faith. Not just any faith, the faith that changes lives. The faith of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter what this year may bring, blessings or burdens, trials or triumphs, always remember this year, the just shall live by faith.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.